This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Hey guys, this is the Wednesday edition of Knockout Radio, and on the phone with us right now is Court McGee. He is fighting this weekend at the UFC Fight Night down in Sunrise, Florida at the BB&T Center, and we kept him on over the break, and we thank you for that, because I think your cause outside of the octagon is important for our society and for these fighters, that some of them promote alcohol and have their own product labels, and you know, we don't know what people are dealing with addiction, and I think it's important to give you a platform to talk about the McGee Project and let people know how they can get involved.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can go to McGeeProject.org and check out what we do. I put on presentations from middle schools, high schools, juvenile justice, anywhere where youth is present, and I educate, you know, those who aren't necessarily struggling on the disease of addiction and how cunning, baffling, and powerful it can be. And for those who are struggling, after I get done putting on a presentation, they come up and they share their stories. And if they do need help, I offer support with the facility that I'm working with, or, you know, the high school that I'm at. I bring up counselors, and you know, I make it a little bit easier for if a student is really struggling and needs some help, to make that opportunity happen. But most importantly, I share my personal experience of losing everything and being a person in long-term recovery and how horrible the disease of addiction is. And when you overcome it, how incredible life can be. You know, without a drink or drug for 13 years last week, I've become a professional athlete. I got married. I had two children. I purchased a home. I've become a person I never thought I could be. And I did none of that with drugs and alcohol. But I know that because I struggled with it and I overcame it. So,
you know, Court, we all think this is such a huge, you know, world, and people don't realize how small the world is and when cross paths and how people can help each other. Ironically, my uncle ran a drug rehab center in Philadelphia. And that's why I've always been drawn to you and to your story. And you were on our program many years ago. And I've always stayed close to, you know, what you've done and how you're now reaching back out and helping people. And what's important to me, and I know Matt brought it up, is how people can get involved, how they can help you in helping other people that have gone through or are going through the struggles that you once went through.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, people who had overcome addiction, I mean, there's over 30 million people in long-term recovery that really struggled with alcohol and drugs. And 90% of them started in their teenage years. And me being a UFC fighter, when I go to a high school and I speak, and the high school hires me to come educate the students as well as tell them an incredible story of redemption and overcoming addiction, you know, the kids that struggle come up after, or there's students that come up that know somebody, you know, a sibling or a loved one or a friend, you know, and they have questions and they ask. And in the event somebody is really struggling and needs help, you know, I've built relationships with facilities and with, you know, licensed clinical social workers and people where I can point them in the right direction through my own experience. I didn't read it out of a book. I wasn't educated on it. I was personally educated through my own experience. And I nearly lost everything. So they listen, as well as, you know, I can inform them that they're not bad, that they have a disease, and that it can take everything from them in just a short period of time. I mean, it took me 18 months out of high school, and I had overdosed and was pronounced clinically dead. And I was not trying to do that. You know, it wasn't fun anymore. I wanted to stop and found that I couldn't. And when I surrounded myself with people in long-term recovery and started doing what they do, my life changed. I mean, I had no idea I was going to become a professional athlete or, I mean, have one of the longest careers in the history of the UFC or become a dad. And I've done all those things because I put recovery first. And, you know, it's important to share that story. It's important to influence kids because so many young kids are dying and they never are able to achieve these incredible things that they can achieve because you can't. When you're a drug addict, you can't achieve incredible things when you're on heroin. You just can't. And you can't become the person that, you know, I know that they can be. So it's been an incredible experience. I love it. It's my driving force to compete as a professional athlete and become a better person one day at a time.
And now that you have done that in numerous fights under the UFC banner Saturday night, you know, I know that you can always take good or bad no matter where you are in the lineup. I'm excited for you being the first fight of the night. You know, all these people, all these fighters that are like, I can't wait till Saturday. And then once Saturday comes, I have to wait another 4, 6, 8 hours. Are you looking at it that it's a way to kick off the card by being the first night on the card or the first fight on the card?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I it's not up to me to choose my position where sure. I compete. But regardless if I'm first or last, I'm going to put in the amount of effort that I put into my training, which was everything. And so, you know, it is an opportunity to kick things off, to start things off. I've competed my very first fight. I was the first fight on the card. And then I believe when Conor McGregor fought Jose Aldo, I was the first fight on that card. And so it's happened before. I have experience with it. But regardless of where I'm at, I show up and I do my absolute best.
Looking forward to it. ESPN Fight Night. Court, thank you for your time. We're going to put you on hold so we can get your address so that we can send you out some Ape Man Strong swag for giving us some minutes of your time tonight.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That is Court McGee. We will see him Saturday.
It's awesome. Win or lose in the Octagon on Saturday, he's still a champion in life.
No, absolutely.
And what he's doing for people that, you know, sometimes it's hard for people to come out and ask for help. And, you know, this is
Junior Seau. You know, they just did a 30-30 on him.
Sure.
You know, and the struggles that he was going through, he didn't ask for help.
Sure.
And, you know, and again, I relate to Cord in the fact that I remember the Lower Kensington Environmental Center. You know, I joke about what I saw out at Rocky's apartment
sure.
when the UFC was out there in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago. It was right around the corner from the rehab center that my uncle ran, that my grandfather was involved in. And I remember their reward if they went through the entire process. I don't even know if I've ever told you this. You know, they went through the entire process of everything that they did at the Lower Kensington Environmental Center. And what's ironic, when we went to it, my little brother and I, we Googled and there was some information on my uncle. The reward was they came to Florida.
Really?
And my grandparents had a house in Venice. And my uncle and or my grandfather would bring some of these former addicts to our house in St. Petersburg.
Wow.
And they spent days in our house. And the education that I learned, you know, from some of these people was amazing.
Sure.
You know, and I remember going in a van with them to my grandparents in Fort Lauderdale. And then we went down to Miami. And just, you know, seeing different stories and different sides and different things.
Well, I think the stereotype, you know, the stereotype that people have about drug addicts and people that are addicted, you know, they don't think it's like in their backyard, right? It's like, oh, it's people on the street or
it's in their back
low
room.
Car, right?
You know, a lot of times it's in their house, but they don't know, you know,
especially in the world of sport, you know, where these guys are on pain medications and after a brutal fight, I mean, being prescribed medication to recover and to, you know, they get strung out on this stuff and get hooked on it. And it's, you know, it's dangerous.
Absolutely. So thank you very much to Court McGee.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Great
I'm looking
guy.
Forward to seeing him on Saturday. Coming up, Ben Saunders. I've had some really nice conversations with Killer B.
Killer B.
Good dude. And then Jim Miller to close out and end the show. So Ben Saunders, I believe, is the main event of Saturday night. I'm trying to pull it back.
Ben Saunders is?
Yeah.
No, not the prelims?
Oh, the main event on ESPN.
Oh, okay.
Don't question me.
I'm just saying.
So, yeah, so definitely some good stuff.
Killer B, should I cut my chops back in? We did at the UFC in Orlando, we did the Killer B side-by-side. What do they call it, doppelgangers?
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
Wait, that could be our nickname, like my fighting name. Like.
All right, here we go again. All right, here's what's going to happen. You're going to drive us down.
I will.
And then I'm going to leave you there and take your car and drive us back and leave you there.
All right.
Every time I think you've turned the corner.
I'll ride back with Killer B or Mike Perry. They'll give me at least to Orlando. That's halfway home.
I bet they won't.
You don't think?
No, because I'd ask them not to.
No, Killer B will give me a lift.
I don't think so.
I'll bring a Jupiter bike. I'll just ride 10 miles at a time.
There you go. And then stop for 2 hours to charge.
Charge and ride again. That's what I should have done on my bike ride to New York. It would have been a lot easier.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. You got to keep an eye on that.
Yep.
Are you going to watch the draft?
I mean, do I really need to? I mean, Kyler Murray is going to be number one, right?
You know, who knows? You know, I mean, that the reports are yes. you know, all thoughts are yes. I hope so because.
But isn't he going to be a baseball guy?
Is no, he turned he turned it away.
Really?
He turned. I guess he's going to have to refund the Oakland A's.
Wow.
Because you know, he got some money. Well, you know, let's think about it. I think there's more money to be made in Major League Baseball.
For sure. Bryce Harper, Mike Trout.
Yeah, like but that's few. And, but that's few and far between.
You don't think Kyler Murray is getting that kind of money?
Well, no. He at least not on his first rookie deal.
Right.
He'll get millions. Don't get me wrong. Sure. Some of the things that benefits from the NFL over Major League Baseball is he will be in the NFL. He will be in the big leagues. Major League Baseball,
farm system, work his way up.
I know there are a handful that have not gone into the minors, but it's few and far between.
Right.
So he'll be right there. He'll be competing right away. He'll be your starter if he does it, well, wherever he goes.
Sure.
Do you think it's a smoke signal? Smoke screen? Do you think they're not going to take him, and they're going to make a trade?
Who's got the first pick? Raiders.
Oh my God! I'm going to kill you. I'm literally going to punch you right in the face.
Why?
The Arizona Cardinals have the number one pick. Oh. They're the ones that they are assuming will draft Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Then they will trade their number one pick from last year.
Well, I thought the big hype. I thought the whole hype last year was that Gruden got like 5 first round picks. I assume he had all of
three.
Them.
He has 3.
Like, Gruden just has all of them.
I like how you're trying to cover yourself. You're
I'm just
trying
saying,
to backtrack.
All the talk last year was how they're just going to load up the
they
next
did load
2
up.
Years.
They did load up.
And then when they go to Las Vegas, they're just going to dominate.
Well, I don't know about dominating.
That's the,
no, I don't know about
the dominating. Golden Knights did.
How about some things that happened real quick before Ben Saunders comes on? I guess I didn't watch. I really wasn't in the mood to watch much TV last night. But I guess the Las Vegas Knights got hosed.
Oh, really?
On a really bad call.
Okay.
But then they're up like 3 goals. And they give up 3 goals on power plays. Now, from what I understand, I didn't see it. It was an awful call.
Okay.
Get over it. It's a long game for one call. And then more important, just because of who the team was, did you see how Portland won?
Yeah, with like a half-court shot.
pretty much. And then he waved goodbye to Oklahoma City, which is awesome. I'm not a big Westbrook fan. So
I see that our hometown Orlando Magic are now out of the playoffs. They lost to the Raptors.
Yeah, but most people didn't even expect Orlando in the playoffs.
Correct.
You know, let's be honest. There's a reason we didn't go up there to any games.
Right. Well, one, because I couldn't find my picture.
They don't want your picture.
I'll draw my picture.
Your picture is not. That's like, did you see the ESPN commercial about it's a selfie of Bill Self? It's a hand drone. It is a pretty funny commercial.
They do
good stuff, good commercials on the Four Letter Network. You know, that is for sure. But yeah, you know, the almost a half court, it was 115-115. So really, it wasn't as big of a deal. When I first saw it when I woke up this morning, I figured they were down 2.
Okay.
And he heaved up a 3, and he's a big, whatever, because not only did he go for the tie, he waited for it.
Right.
But, no, it was tied, so it wasn't a big deal.
A bigger upset, the Tampa Bay Lightning getting swept by the Blue Jackets or OKC going out to the Trailblazers.
Okay, genius. You tell me which is a bigger upset.
The Lightning.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
That's an ugly stain that will never wipe off the city.
No, and both of them.
Ben is on the line.
Awesome.
He's holding on. Maybe he can tell us about.
Tell us about what?
About the fight.
No, I'm just turning you off.
Okay.
Let's go down to Sunrise. We were going to broadcast live, but we've already explained why we're not there yet. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing great. Randy, how are you?
Not too well.
I'm sorry.
It's part of life. I mean, my dad had been sick. He'd been in the hospital 114 days. And, it is what it is. And he would want me to continue doing what I love, and that's this radio show. It's mixed martial arts. And taking it to the whole next level, having you on, is certainly outstanding.
Thank you. I'm glad I could bring some positivity.
Well, we've had a lot of conversations on the air, off the air, and, followed your career a long time. And I wanted you to talk about something that you texted me. And you said... you've said never lose the same way twice. That's proof of improvement.
Yeah, I believe that. That's my biggest, goal. Like, if there's any way that you lose, look at how it happened, and then your goal should be to make sure that it never happens the exact same way twice.
So with that said, and you can, I'm assuming you can always learn something after a loss. What can you learn? How much can you learn after a win? Because I'm sure there's things that have gone wrong in a win. Can you turn that around and also learn from a victory?
Oh, you definitely can. Depending on how the victory occurred, I guess. If it's like the first punch thrown in the connection, it immediately ends the fight in the first couple of seconds. That might be a little bit more difficult to try to critique. But you could always look back and see, well, how did everything go leading into that as far as your entire camp? Maybe a weight cut or a diet situation or anything like that. So there's definitely a bunch of things that should be and could be learned from throughout the entire process.
How exciting is it that the sport that we both love continues to grow? And I remember back in the day talking to athletes, where can this sport go? How big can this sport go? And then it's sold for what it's sold for, and it continues to grow. And now it's on probably the most famous network in all of the world, the four-letter network, ESPN. What is that like? What does that feel like to you and to be fighting on ESPN?
Man, it's super surreal. You know, like, when I got involved in the sport, it was obviously, or at least first time seeing it, 10 years old, it was kind of seen as barbaric and, you know, human cockfighting. And then it went to being taken completely off all the pay-per-views and, you know, getting taken out of almost every state of being legal. And people, man, you had to go to, like, Indian reservations just to, like, have MMA be allowed to where it is now, man. I mean, when I was in high school telling teachers or telling people what I wanted to do with my life, that definitely was not where it is today. Like, at this point, I mean, everyone can kind of see that, wow, man, you can actually make a living. And it isn't barbaric. You can actually be intelligent and a good person and just be a competitive sportsman or martial artist. There's a lot of ways to look at how this sport has evolved. But ultimately, to be what seems like, I believe I'm now going to be the main event on the ESPN prelims section, I definitely didn't think it was going to reach that. I thought I was going to have to go to Thailand, Japan, Brazil, China, all these places just to train. And then the goal was to eventually open my own little gym, probably even live in my gym is what I was thinking at the time. Like, live a very simple life, not looking for fame, fortune, or anything like that. Just be, you know, a lifelong martial artist and love what I do. And to see where it is now is pretty, pretty surreal. It's super incredible. It's mind-blowing. I don't think too many people, unless they've been in the game as long as you, me, and the pioneers that started it, ever thought that it was going to reach ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, I remember sitting, like I said, you know, talking to you, talking to Randy Couture, talking to Chuck Liddell, you know, never thinking, you know, and now on Saturday night, not only are you the main event on ESPN, and there's other fights on ESPN too. I know there's fights on, you know, ESPN Plus. ESPN is where everybody goes. My TV, when I turn it on, goes to ESPN. Have you seen yet? And if not, I'll screenshot it for you next time I see it. Your name on the scroll, you know, on ESPN saying Ben Saunders versus Saturday night.
No, I actually have not yet. But I'm sure I got friends and family that have seen it and may even have it recorded to show me afterwards.
You know, every time something incredibly cool, you know, when Topps started to make the cards. It's like, oh, wow, our sport is growing. Our sport is starting to make it. And seeing this now on ESPN, it's got me, you know, going crazy. I can imagine what it's doing for you and the rest of the fighters.
Yeah, it's, man, I definitely feel very honored to be a part of it. But, man, it's also something incredible to have been a part of the gradual evolution to get to where it is as well, man. I know I wasn't a pioneer, but I definitely feel that I was involved in the game while the pioneers were doing it. So I definitely want to give lots of thanks to them. In particular, I guess I'll say Dean Thomas and Paul Rodriguez, man. They, in my opinion, Dean and Paul are probably the number one and number two guys of Florida that have helped MMA, especially Floridian MMA, get to where it is today.
You know, you and I have known each other a long time, and I don't like to talk about myself a lot. I don't, you know, promote myself that way. But I am very proud to say Dean Thomas's first interview ever was on my radio show in Orlando.
What?
How about that?
Crazy. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
It was during Tampa Bay Buccaneer training camp, and I had a hotel room there because I was staying for Bucs training camp, and Dean drove over and sat in our hotel room and did the radio show, and he always tells people it's the first radio interview he ever did.
That's crazy. What I imagine WEF?
It was on WTAN.
Yeah. You know?
Do what?
Yeah, probably. I'm just assuming it was probably the organization was WEF or World Extreme Fighting, maybe.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even remember. You know, it. So it shows
it's so long ago.
You know, I was just telling Court McGee how small the world is. We think it's huge, but how small it is. And here's the relationship that I have with Dean and that you have with Dean and the MMA world, how it really is small in this big world that we live in. You fought all over the world. What's it like to come home? It's been, what, I think 12 years since you fought in Fort Lauderdale.
Ah, man. Yeah, I mean, it would have to be my last AFC fight or Absolute Fighting Championship fight.
That's what it was.
At the War Memorial.
February 2006.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's definitely incredible, man. You know, to be born out, you know, born in Fort Lauderdale and to be able to be, again, on ESPN on a Fort Lauderdale UFC card is, it's incredible, man. That's why, like, I campaigned to get on this card as hard as I could with Sean Shelby and them. I was like, you know that I'm going to come out. You know I'm going to represent. You know I'm going to put on the show and go and look for the finish every single time. Please let me get on this card.
Thank you, Sean Shelby. Ben, can that be, though, not necessarily a drawback, but, you know, now putting a lot of pressure on you because, you know, you're known as a Florida guy. You fought in Tampa. You fought in Orlando. People are going to drive from the other coast to come see you fight. Is that added pressure, or do you enjoy the added pressure?
I don't see it as pressure. I honestly felt maybe there was more pressure on the Orlando card, but at this point, man, I'm just super stoked. I'm just super, super excited to represent.
Before I ask you about your opponent, the beauty of this fight on Saturday is the fact that after your fight, win or lose, you won't get a phone call from me. I'm just going to walk back and talk to you.
Yes. Yes. And you know, I'm still gunning for that bicycle.
The Jupiter bike, absolutely.
Talk to us
about your opponent and what we can expect on Saturday.
So Sato, man, he's the best Japanese welterweight in the world right now. He's making his UFC debut, and I'm sure a lot of people have been watching him and have have high hopes of what he's going to be able to do for the UFC in general. I feel very honored to fight him. He's actually going to be the first, which is so crazy considering how many fights and how long I've been doing this, which is will be 15 years. May 1st will be, on May 1st will be 15 years as a professional, and I've never fought anybody from Japan, which I don't know. In my opinion, considering how, as a martial artist, like when I think martial arts and I think pride, like I think Japan, I think it's very kind of crazy that I've never fought a Japanese fighter. But I'm definitely very excited. He's well rounded. He's definitely very skilled. But you know, if they wanted him to get the win, it probably shouldn't have been put against me. But but that's just, you know, that's just the competitor in me. Again, I'm actually really, really excited to be able to hopefully gain a lot of Japanese fans from the
show. You know, let's be honest, and not to keep harping ESPN, 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 but you're going to get a lot of fans, not just Japanese fans, but all types of fans because of the access of where we are now on ESPN. People are going to tune in because it's ESPN, and I know it's been on Fox and Spike and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but the four-letter network is going to a whole new level, and when you come to do what you do on Saturday night, you're going to gain fans from all over the world and all over the country.
Yeah, I definitely agree that when I think sports and athletics, ESPN is hands down the first network and the first station that comes to mind. So to be able to actually be broadcast pretty easily to the masses nationwide and worldwide is going to be... Man, that's I would say that's that could be... to some people, more pressure than fighting in Florida. I'm super stoked.
How much longer, you know, again, we've had a lot of talks, and, you know, how much longer do you want to do this, and do you love this as much today as you did 15 years ago, May 1st?
Oh, I definitely love it as much today. I definitely also try not to think of much about the ending of when it has to, stop. But I look at Anderson Silva, he and I'm like, yo, if Anderson's still fighting, how old is he? When is he going to stop? Dan Henderson, how old was he? When did he stop? Randy Couture, how old was he? When did he stop? You know, these are the people that I look at, and I've taken care of my body. I've taken care of everything. I'm consistently eating healthy. Like I don't go on diets. I just eat a healthy or live a healthy lifestyle. I'm consistently always training, always improving. There's no real downtime yet, except for when you got to give your body and mind the rest because it's beneficial to then come back and then go hard again. But for the most part, again, this is going to be 15 years of consistency. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't party. As far as the negative aspects that could be deteriorating for the body and the brain and the liver and organs and all that. Like, I literally have been on a health kick thinking the entire time since I started. This is not a sprint. This is a long distance marathon, and we're going to see how far and how long we can take it. And when I see the guys that I mentioned still doing it, I mean, Anderson Silva's last fight blew my mind. I mean, it was like watching Mortal Kombat or The Matrix. You know, he still had it. You know, and he's going against such a young stud who just won the interim middleweight title. You know, so when I see that and I see how much, not only do I travel the world to fight, but man, I feel like I travel the world to train and to improve, and I'm consistently evolving my game, because if we don't, I know that these young guns coming into the game are, you know, they're going to be too, they're going to learn too quick and they're going to surpass me. But because I have never stopped and I'm consistently learning and improving and evolving, like I think my experience and my skill set will take me a very long distance and a very long way. Knock on wood, you know, I've never had any crazy injuries or surgeries or anything like that where I've had to like really deal with anything super horrific in my career. And that's the other thing is like, man, Anderson Silva snapped his leg in two. You know, that was one of the most gruesome things that I've witnessed, and I hate seeing stuff like that. And he still came back and, you know, is fighting well at the highest level. So like, I'm definitely, I plan on going as long and as far as I can. And when things don't end up being how I envision them, or maybe the fun or passion does start to, you know, lessen, then maybe I'll think of and start contemplating, you know, that the aftermath. But as of right now, man, hell, I still feel like I'm 24.
You know, you said some things that you don't do. The one thing that you do do, and it's one of the things I love about you, is you love life, you live life, and that's why I've always been a fan of yours. Ben, I appreciate your time. We're going to put you on hold to get your address so we can send you out some 8-Man Strong gear. And then expect the text. Don't expect the text on Saturday after the fight, because I'm going to come looking for you.
Absolutely. It will be an honor as always, man.
I will see you soon, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.
That is Killer B, Ben Saunders, just a good guy. You know, it's funny because after a fight, I'll text him and, you know, whatever, either congrats or this. And, you know, just the conversation right after is pretty cool. And we're going to hook him up with some 8-Man Strong. And then again, there's always that Jupiter bike.
Oh, yeah.
It's orange. Oh. They asked me which color to get, and I said, well, I've got the green.
Yep.
Let's do something. You know, if Ben Saunders is riding it, if Court McGee is riding it, it's got to stick out.
Sure.
Mike Perry, you think Mike Perry wants a black Jupiter bike?
No.
Nah. Give us them the orange. Yeah. Give them the green. Give them something that's definitely going to stick out. All right, three quarters down, one quarter to go. We're going to talk a little bit, not much, a little bit about the NFL draft. Kicks off tomorrow. I will be out there. Then, of course, the fight on Saturday. A lot of stuff continues, and thinking about my dad as we continue. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Snapchat.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people
and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment.
With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Now, that liner that was just played, and I know your headset wasn't on, it was the Mike Schmidt liner.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple liners that you've done. And like I said, I'm going to start grading your liner.
Okay.
Your liner getting capabilities.
Sure.
Now, you need to like kind of drive people sometimes to do some good liners.
Okay.
All right. Like one of my favorite is Carlton Fess.
Okay.
Where he says, what are you, crazy or goofy or something? What do you, you know? So sometimes some funny ones are good.
Okay.
But then again, when you have somebody like Mike Schmidt, that would be Michael Jack Schmidt to Philadelphia Philly fans.
He sets the tone.
He does.
You just let him roll.
He definitely does.
You hit record and just get out of the way.
Pretty much. Well, you won't. You don't get out of the way because you got to get in every picture.
That's true.
You know, so if you would get out of the way, we could take some better pictures.
I wish I had longer arms. I could get more of me in the photos.
Do I tell the story?
Sure.
Okay. So I think I've already told it anyway. So you take a photo with the Olympic gold medalist and the UFC champion, Henry Cejudo, and the Jupiter bike.
I do.
And what did I tell you? What did I tweet you?
You Photoshop. You said the photo looked great, except I was in it.
Exactly. So when I sent the photo off to Jupiter Bike, I cut you out, and then there's an app where you can like take things out, so I can take your hand out. Okay. Now, I don't think anybody asked, how is the Jupiter box just floating in air, right? Well, it could have been on a stump or a stool or something, but good stuff for sure, and hopefully we do give the Jupiter Bike away.
Yeah, the performance of the night. That's all you got to do.
Is this? Are we going to add? Keep an eye on that. Are we going to add numbers? So would this be UFC performance of the night too?
Sure.
So we're going to keep a running total.
Keep a running tally.
Nothing wrong with that. All right. Where does Josh Rosen go? Does he get traded today or tomorrow? Where does Gerald McCoy go? Does he get traded today or tomorrow? Do the Oakland Raiders trade? I don't think they're going to trade the high one. But they have two low ones. Do they bulk the two of those together and move up? Or do they trade and move down and get more picks?
See, there's so many dynamics. I mean, who knows? I mean, are they going to clear out McCoy before they go into the draft so they know exactly what position they're filling?
I don't think they need to do that.
Because
I don't think they need to do it.
In the mock draft, they have Josh Allen. Defensive end, no. Linebacker out of Kentucky going.
First of all, that's not the most recent, but there's so many mock drafts.
Sure, of course.
You know, the last 87 drafts that I saw is of the linebacker, you know, out of LSU.
But is it a defensive player that we're going to select?
Absolutely.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well. Yeah,
positive, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Certain.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, there are some things that you need to address, you know, on both sides, you know, the ball. You're still rolling the dice. You know, on last year's Rod Jones, more offensive linemen, you know, but you need some linebackers. You need some defensive back help.
Sure.
Do the Buccaneers maybe make a trade? How about this trade with your former head coach, John Gruden?
Okay.
Do you trade your fifth pick to the Oakland Raiders for both of their low first picks? Ooh. Is that too much of a fall, you know, going that far back? Because normally, first of all, normally any first-round pick is going to play.
But is a first-round pick really mean anything? Because the GOAT was a sixth-round pick out of Michigan. And
At them all. Jerry Rice, low pick.
Sure.
Brett Favre traded, you know, from the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, it's
so you never know what you're going to get. Of course.
Right? You know, look where Warren Sapp falling because of, you know, the issues. So, I mean, it's all a crapshoot.
Sure.
But when you're picking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, something like that, you need to hit. I was watching a 30 on 30 with John Elway, you know, and with the Colts and how he refused. And, you know, the Buccaneers drafting Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
And never coming.
Sure.
You know, that can set you back, you know, forever.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's... Even if they hit goal with this pick, how many games do you expect the Bucs to win this year?
Again, way too early. I can't say.
8-8?
Well, I can't. What part of I can't say yet? I mean, first of all, how can anybody predict who's going to win games when you don't know who's going to be on the team? First,
for sure.
Let's just say, God forbid, something happens to Jameis Winston. He breaks his arm. He breaks his hand, which has happened, you know, when they throw and they hit a helmet. He gets taken down like the GOAT did, you know, back in a couple years ago with Tom Brady. How can anybody predict right now? They're not even out of OTAs.
Yeah.
They're not even trying to find Gerald McCoy yet, you know, where he is, because he's not coming. Way too early.
Yeah.
Way too early. You don't know who's on the teams.
Sure. How,
you know, you look at schedules. Now, I'm already looking. Where am I going?
Are you going to London?
The plan is to go cover the London game, the Seattle game, the Nashville game, and the Charlotte game.
Charlotte.
And the Panthers.
Okay.
So.
And you pick those games because of the city that
location.
They're in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, London because, let me think, London. London's playing, in London they're playing the Panthers. So the plan is my family from Charlotte, my family from Atlanta, and we're all going to meet.
Okay.
Which will be cool, the Bucks versus the Panthers.
Which plane will I get on? Will I get on the Tampa Harris's, the Charlotte Harris's, or the Atlanta Harris's?
I'm going to say none.
I can't go to London?
No, you can't. Not with us.
I see London. I see France.
Well, that's good. You're such a knucklehead. I don't. I never wonder about you. Seattle's awesome. Seattle's a great city.
I've never been.
It's a phenomenal city.
I hear it's amazing.
The food is good. The pier
and the wharves.
Well, all that stuff. And then there's like this hill that we went to, which is on the other side somewhere, and you sit there. And in a way, it's because, you know, it's sort of a stoner city, I believe, allegedly. Okay. But so these people have these headsets on. So they're listening to music, but obviously you can't hear it because they have headsets, and they're like dancing around, and it's kind of bizarre.
Well, they do that here. It's like a silent like party or whatever, and
right.
There's three DJs, and then the headphones light up based on which DJ you're listening to. So people are just wiling out.
Well, and that's been on a cruise,
and
too.
You can't hear anything.
Right.
No one knows what they're listening to, but then you have to switch your headphone over to like listen to their channel.
I like that on the cruise because if you want to listen to the music and dance around and act like a moron, that's fine. But if not, you can talk. You know, we go to these after parties at the Nashville event. You can't talk. You know, I want to talk to some people.
Yeah.
It's all about talking. I want to talk.
Talk.
But you can't talk if
you
can't hear.
Yeah, you're on the East Coast. You know, you got to talk about it.
Yeah, on the East Coast. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So that's... I don't really want to predict anything just yet.
Okay.
If you don't mind, maybe if you could answer that phone, that would be good.
Well, I got people to do that. I got phone answer people.
Obviously.
Look at that. No, it's 1.5 rings. She's good.
That's all good.
She's killing it.
Looking forward to heading down to a sunrise.
It's going
to
be awesome.
You know, on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to catch up with Jim Miller. He's on the line now, so let's bring him on.
Let's go. Only 14 minutes left on the show, so let's end this right with Jim Miller. Jim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Let's get right into it. I believe this is the third fight on ESPN. And sooner or later, you know, it's all going to sink in. We're all going to understand the sport that we love is now on the biggest network in the world. What's it like? What's the feeling like to be fighting on the four-letter network, ESPN?
You know, it's pretty cool. Just the progression of the sport, like I said. You know, it wasn't very long ago that MMA was only on pay-per-view. And then to kind of live through the days of the other networks, stuff like that, and then come to ESPN, it's pretty cool.
You know, it has come a long way. I remember talking to, and I won't say his name, but a very big name on ESPN many years ago, and we were talking about it, and he said how much he disliked mixed martial arts. And I said, well, have you ever been to an event? And he said, I've never seen the event. So how far it has come to where they don't like something they've never seen to now to talk about it. I mean, ESPN never even talked about mixed martial arts, and now to be the home of the UFC is a big move for our sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very polarizing idea about the fighting and doing all the aspects of it. So a lot of people do come up with an opinion before they know anything about the sport. It's very pure. I mean, that's what I love about it. It's there's no fancy equipment. There's no fancy set of rules. You're not trying to, put a ball in a hoop or in a net or in this or that, or cross the line. It's just two individuals duking it out, and that's what I enjoy about it. That's what makes it so neat.
From talking about where mixed martial arts is nowadays and on the network, talk about how your training has changed since your first professional fight back in 2005.
It's definitely changed a lot. When I first started training, I really didn't have much of a team. We had a very small group. I was at a very small gym. I learned a lot back then. Fighting wise. But I also, one of the biggest things that I learned is that I needed to have a group of, other like-minded individuals around me. It's totally changed, and the sport is just as much about technique and your abilities in the martial arts that we use in the sport as it is about your athleticism. If you're a very good jiu-jitsu player, you can get away with being a little bit less of an athlete. If you're a freak athlete, you can get away with a little bit, worse technique. Nowadays it is 100%. You have to focus on both, and you have to try to improve in not only your technical aspect, but also your straight athleticism.
Talk about what fight week is like. You're going on vacation and you're leaving on Saturday in the anticipation, and you want to get to sleep so you're into the next day. I'm sure fight week is a lot like that, because your reward of all your hard work, all your hard training, is Saturday night. So how do you make the time go by faster?
Honestly, it's tough. fight week is for me, is kind of boring. I don't do a lot during fight week. I'm here for a few days to make weight before the fight, to relax, if I'm dealing with anything from training camps, try to give it a couple days to quiet down, those bumps and bruises. So, it's just, you sit around and wait, and then after weigh-ins, then it's like, it's the vacation. Then you're like, all right, well, Now I'm just worried about the fight, and it is a little bit nerve wracking sometimes, and sometimes the nerves get a little bit of the better of you trying to get to sleep that night before the fight. But not much happens. Not much happens.
I remember Eve Edwards once told me that the fight itself is the reward for everything that you've done to this point. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's. It's kind of a silly way of looking at it. A lot of us look at it like that, like, oh, the work is making weight and getting through training camp and dealing with the grind, and the fight is the, that's the reward. That's the time you get to play. And when you think about it, it's really kind of a strange way to look at it. But I guess we're all kind of similar in that it's, fight night is, you go through all these ups and downs of training camp and make weight to get to do what you love to do, on Saturday nights.
It's pretty much you say whatever you need to say to get through whatever you need to get through, you know, to, mm-hmm. to get to Saturday. I don't know if you're like me. I'm a little strange with numbers. And like when I go to the gas station, it has to be certain numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4 on gas or whatever. And if you are like me, I'm not a big fan of the number 9. And I believe you have 9 performance submission of the nights. How important is it to get off that 9 and get to the to an even number that we all like 10?
You know, that doesn't bother me. You know, I mean, yes, I'd love to because it means more money for my family. You know,
sure.
That's kind of the big thing. You know, the feather in the cap is great and all, but I just want to go out and, you know, I've been chasing the perfect performance my entire career. That's what I'm going for. That's what I want. And if I do that, then, you know, I'll probably get another performance bonus. But, that's the biggest thing is just going out and fighting the way that I know that I can fight. You know, and that's the big thing that I'm hunting.
For a second, about your opponent and what we can expect on Saturday.
You know, Jason is a tough young kid. You know, I mean, he's been some good fights. He's a tall lefty, which is always fun. You know, me being 5'8", I'm pretty certain that I'm the shortest guy in the division. So dealing with tall guys is always it's just an interesting nut to crack. But yeah, he's going to come in here and try to make a name off me, and you know, my goal is to go out and to fight him to the best of my abilities, and I've seen everything. I've fought pretty much a who's who of the world of mixed martial arts in the lightweight division, and there's nothing that he's going to throw at me that I haven't seen before. Go out and fight.
When you're planning on fighting whoever, whether it's Jason this time, your last fight, your next fight, how much goes into what that athlete does, or is it more what you're going to do to your opponent, not what your opponent can possibly do?
For me personally, it is almost exclusively on what I can do. I train to fight to my strengths. I've seen it before in the past where fighters will train so much to defend against their opponent's strengths that they accept positions in a fight. I just focus on me trying to get better every day. I let my coaches worry about it a little bit. If there's positions or techniques that my opponent will do, I let them kind of coach me into those positions and we'll do some reps getting out of them, stuff like that. For me, I'm 100% like, you know, on just trying to fight to my best.
Very good stuff. Jim, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold to get your address so we can send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for giving us a couple of minutes of your time. Best of luck on Saturday. I'll see you at the fights.
Thank you very much.
Jim Miller, there you have it. Jim Miller, Mike Perry,
and he's not
Ben
kidding.
Saunders, Court McGee. Want to thank all four for their time. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
He has fought the who's who in the lightweight division, so he was not kidding about that. And maybe a forerunner for the Jupiter bike.
You know what's cool as we sit here, and, you know, Ben Saunders and I talked about it, you know, in the last chat. Some of the athletes that have been here, you know, for a little while.
Sure.
Some obviously longer than others. It's just kind of cool. You know, I remember sitting with Ben. I remember talking to Jim years ago, you know, and the sport continues to grow. Their talent continues to grow. You know, as you know, you're always learning. You're always moving on. And the only good thing, nothing good has happened to me, you know, in the last 24 hours with the passing of my dad. But I guess we should thank my dad because we don't have to drive back from Fort Lauderdale now.
He saved us 7 hours today.
Because we are already here. My thoughts, are with the rest of my family. I want to thank everybody that has reached out, and it's unbelievable. Some of the people that have reached out, and my dad's former Little League players, I'm going to say employees. It's a rough time, but I guess it's a good time, and we're going to remember the good times with my dad, my former coach, and all that kind of stuff. Want to thank everybody for putting up with me today. I'm not thanking you.
Yeah, it's just thanking me.
It's part of your job. You have to.
It's true.
You literally have no choice. You know, there's a reason you're driving on Saturday.
That's true.
It's what makes this team a team. So if you want to hit me up, feel free to do it. We have some stuff still to give away. We'll have more race tickets to give away down the road. Some 8-man strong, the Jupiter bike. We're working on giving one of our fans the bike, and you're not eligible. So continue to follow us and hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
At Nick Feeds Man 1.
Murray Harris, always.
Condolences to your family, buddy.
Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.